22, not John, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 22. And we will pick up kind of where we left off last week. John chapter 22. Yeah, and keep your thumb in John, just in case I want to go there later. Acts chapter 22. Thank you, Joe. That'll be enough out of you. All right, here we go. We're going to start in verse 22 of Acts chapter 22. And it says, "And they gave him audience," speaking of Paul, "they gave Paul audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should examine him by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Let's just stop right there. When we left off last week, we had covered through verse 24, and we discussed the fact that the scourging that is about to take place, or seems to be going to take place here, was being done in an attempt to, by and large, it was torture, in an attempt to make whoever it may be, the accused, confess and tell what their offenses are. Of course, we know that Paul had no offenses in this, and there was the accusations were false. But nonetheless, their intentions are to scourge him. And just to remind you of what we talked about last week, it's more a scourging was more than just being whipped. It was an instrument of torture that had a wooden handle, had several leather leads going off that handle that would have been tipped with sharp objects, whether it be bone or metal or whatever objects would be they chose to attach there. And those objects, rather than the lashing of a whip, the objects on the end would actually cut the skin and leave more than whelps, but actually leave open wounds. The flesh would be actually just laid open, okay? And so bleeding, of course, was a result of this. Oftentimes, infections would set in because obviously these being prisoners, they didn't get the medical attention after these scourgings, and so it was many times people died from these kind of thrashings. And so as it stands, Paul is in for this really unmerciful torture. But let's read on verse 25. I'll read that again. It says, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yeah." And the chief captain answered and said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman because he had bound him. So Paul had already, I mean, they were so close to this torture that he had already been restrained with, this would have been leather thongs, if it were, as it were, which would have been just leather straps that were tied to his hands or wrist on each side, and would have been had him outstretched, securing him for one thing, that he couldn't fight against the whipping he was about to get, but also to keep his body taut, if you will, for the whipping. And this was all about to happen, but at the last minute, Paul kind of pulled a rabbit out of the hat, so to speak, and announced that he was a Roman citizen. Well, this shed a whole new light on the situation, because fortunately Roman citizens were afforded liberties and rights and freedoms that many other people that occupied Rome, the Roman Empire, but were not citizens, were not afforded, okay? And so Paul would have been exempt from this kind of flogging or scourging. It was not that a Roman could not be condemned, because certainly they could, but they were afforded much more consideration, due process. Their rights were just greater than the other people in the empire. And so when the centurion heard Paul say that he was a Roman, he quickly ran and told his superior, which was the chief captain, and that put a halt to the whole deal. The chief captain approaches Paul, as we just read, and says, "Are you a Roman?" Paul says, "Yes." His reply to Paul, which was at a great cost or at a great sum, he says in verse 28, "Obtained I this freedom." In other words, he's kind of being sarcastic, it seems. The Roman captain says sarcastically, basically, "Don't play games. I paid a big price to get my citizenship, and so don't take it lightly." Okay, it was kind of the, it seems that that's his sarcasm here. But Paul shocks him when Paul says, "Hey, I was born a Roman. Okay, I didn't have to pay any sum. I was born a Roman." This would have struck fear into that Roman captain, because he's recognizing the seriousness of what he's just done, even by binding Paul as a Roman citizenship. Roman citizenship gave Paul liberties that would have considered him more than your average person. There were things like a right to a trial, a right to, or actually freedom from interrogation without having an opportunity to have due process. They had the right to appeal to Caesar. We'll see that Paul at the moment sees some of these rights, but he's going to continue to do so. He's going to appeal to Caesar later, okay? But when the chief captain heard all of this, that Paul was a natural-born citizen, verse 29 tells us he was afraid. This scared him greatly, because why? He'd already done more to Paul than really he should have, according to the law. And so this could really result, having violated Paul's rights the way he had, surely could get him in trouble. Had he went ahead and scourged Paul, certainly his career would have ended, but possibly it could have meant his life. He could have been executed for having done so. So when you look at this, I'll explain a few things before we move on about Roman citizenship. Actually, Paul's position as a citizen was stronger than the captain's position, because the captain, as he said, I paid a great sum to obtain my citizenship. What he's really saying there is he gained his citizenship by bribery. History tells us that you couldn't legally purchase Roman citizenship. It was not for sale. But through corrupt officials and people in high places, connections, if you will, strings could be pulled and arrangements could be made that would afford a person to come in through the back door, so to speak, and become a Roman citizen. Just like many governments, there's corrupt ways of getting things done. And so people would do that, and obviously based on what he's just said, that's the way he got his citizenship, because otherwise it wasn't. There was not another avenue, okay? And so realizing his huge mistake in having taken a natural-born citizen and bound him and all, he knew he'd already crossed the line, and so he backpedals very quickly. Verse 30 tells us then now he's just going to bring Paul to the Jews and let the Jews handle this situation. So verse 30 says, "On tomorrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them." And what's he doing here? He still wants to know what's going on, okay? He's trying to get to the bottom of the whole riotous situation. But he said he lets Paul, because Paul was a Jew, not only a Roman citizen, but he was a Jew. And so he wants to let the Jewish council, he calls them together, you guys interrogate. You do a little due process, if you will, here, and with this situation. And so we're going to stop right there for a moment. And actually, as far as our text goes, we'll stop right there altogether. And let me just point out a few things regarding Paul's handling of this situation, okay? Through this whole process, which we obviously throughout the last several weeks have studied and saw that Paul has been beaten by this crowd. He's been falsely accused, and now he's detained by the Roman officials. Paul, it's been a bad day, okay, for Paul, but we can learn so much by his example of how he handled this situation. First of all, I want you to notice how Paul, he accepted his situation. In spite of this bringing persecution into his life, Paul remained faithful unto God's plan. If you remember, Paul knew coming into Jerusalem that he was going to run into this. Do you remember there was a couple of occasions where people prophesied and told him, hey, and then the Lord told him, that, hey, things are going to get rough in Jerusalem. And he was going to be, the prophecy of Agabus was that he would be bound. In other words, he would be arrested, okay? Paul knew all this coming in, but continued to follow through with God's plan because he knew it was God's plan for him to go on to Jerusalem. And so he was willing to face whatever had been appointed to him when he got to Jerusalem. He tells us in Acts chapter 21, verse 13, he told the fellow Christians that were pleading with him, trying to dissuade him from continuing his journey to Jerusalem, he said, hey, I'm willing to die there, but I'm going to Jerusalem, okay? And so, again, Paul accepts the situation and continues to follow through with God's plan. Oftentimes, when things get tough, certainly persecution, and our persecution would never be to the level that Paul's experienced, but oftentimes when it gets tough, we just rather than go through it, we just alter our plans and lighten the burden, right? And sometimes it's just best, well, it's always just best. If it's God's plan, trudge on, go through the storm, and regardless of how bad it is, and honor God by following his plan. The second thing I want you to note, and we can learn from, is Paul used his circumstances as an opportunity. The crowd that was around Paul had not gathered to hear him preach, as we know. They had gathered to beat him. They've already done that. And they would like to kill him. They've not had that opportunity yet. That is the sole reason they're gathered around Paul. But yet, Paul sees that opportunity, and as we just studied the last several verses before tonight, Paul used that as an opportunity to give his testimony of the transforming power of God upon his own life. He was ready to testify for the Lord under whatever circumstance and whenever opportunity was given. And so when he's standing before this hostile crowd that hated him, still yet he testified for the Lord. That's a great example to you and I. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God says, always be ready to open your mouth and tell people about me, okay? Third thing we need to recognize is Paul, rather than be angry and hostile and retaliatory towards his accusers, Paul is really conciliatory. He's it's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. You're like me. You would be, after what Paul's just went through with this crowd, we would be stirred up. We would be angry. I mean, we'd be trying to hand out a few black eyes over this deal, right? They've just beaten him. They falsely accused him. But yet Paul, if you'll note, just probably one page back, or it is in my Bible, Paul, as he starts out his speech to them in verse 1, says, men, brethren, and fathers. You see that the terms of affection he uses towards his fellow Jews? Brethren and fathers, he calls them. And that's after they've beaten him, folks. And so Paul is truly blessing them that persecuted him and cursing not, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 14 says. He's doing exactly what Jesus told us in Matthew. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Paul is epitomizing that command of the Lord. And this is something that can only be done by God's grace, but it is a reminder, folks, just because we say, oh yeah, but they made me mad, still not an excuse. Paul gives us an example. We can still live by the grace of God in an honorable way and not attack those that have attacked us, okay? Fourth and lastly, and we're done. Paul acted out of love. I want you to remember why Paul was in Jerusalem in the first place. Because remember, he'd gone all throughout Macedonia on his third missionary journey and taken up love offerings everywhere he went, right? Gathering up an offering that he was going to take back to Jerusalem to the destitute Christians in holy city. He wanted to go be a blessing to his church, his other Christians. And so out of love, he had traveled to Jerusalem. Now let me remind you why he was in the temple that day praying. Because when he come to town, he found out he was being a stumbling block to some of his fellow Jewish brethren who had misunderstood Paul and thought that he'd turned his back on the law, turned his back on everything Jewish, tradition, habits, everything. And so Paul made a decision at the urging of the leaders there in the church that he would go into the temple, he would go represent with some other men that had a vow on them, and he would show everybody that he did respect and he did appreciate the law, and that all things Jewish culture, Jewish tradition was still important to him. And he did all this out of love. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, like many of us, well, if they misunderstood, they misunderstood. That's their problem. But no, Paul was going to every length he could to try to straighten out that misunderstanding so he wouldn't be a stumbling block to his Christian brethren. Thirdly, we see his love for his own lost Jewish countrymen, if you will. He wanted to see them saved. In spite of the fact that they're willing to beat him, they're persecuting him, they're falsely accusing him, and they really want to kill him. And yet Paul's desire is to evangelize them, bring the love of God to them because he had experienced it himself. So Paul acted out of love through all this tumultuous situation that we've been studying, and it stands as a great example to you and I. He had a big heart, and he acted out of that big heart. And I hope that you and I can learn from it as well. Okay, appreciate you guys very much. Get back there and love on Misha.